Everyone, I hope everyone's doing well. This is Welcome to My Point of View. I am the host, Douglas H. Malloy, aka Dougie Slap, and today is the subject is knowing the self according to its design, serving others, and collective ascension. One of the interesting things about existence, one of the interesting things about the creation is that the only thing that exists at the highest levels of the creation are collectives that have ascended. According to the raw material, individuality is only possible up to the third octave of sixth density, because the fourth octave of sixth density is a reunification of, as it says, a light love and love light into a single ideal. One of the things that is the responsibility of everyone is developing a viable spiritual practice. The other is that within the context of knowing the self, it is useful to understand that the Creator has a name, and that which brought us to life has a name. The name of the Creator that created us is Yahweh. The name of that which brought us to life is Id. And most of the religions of the world basically teach false doctrine about who we are and what we are. That's the role that they play. According to Hatan, the only thing that evolves on this planet, the only thing that evolves in a human context is positive and negative service polarity. According to that which harvests human beings on a planet, those that are polarized in the negative are harvested and taken to that aspect of the universe that corresponds to their negativity. Those that are harvested on the positive are harvested, and they begin the process of the evolution of the species until it collectively ascends. Everyone else repeats third density on another planet. And this is a very interesting thing. It's almost like everybody gets to ask the question, am I going to repeat their density on another planet? I'm always fascinated by the amount of dialogue that there is involving and regarding UFOs and ghosts. One of the things that I've come to understand about UFOs is they bring the soul and they take the soul home. It's the only thing that needs to be understood about why they are involved with the planet and every soul that's in every body to the tune of 7 billion people got here by what can be thought of as a UFO. According to Mary Summerane, there's going to come a point in time when people look up in the sky and they're not going to see blue sky. All they're going to see is UFOs, and then they have one responsibility. Which one brought my soul to this planet? And there's all kinds of stuff that's going to get in the way of people doing that simple thing. According to a book that was written in the 1970s, I think it was published in 1975, but it might have been as late as 1979. It was published by Don Elkins and Carla Ruckert. And in this book, The Secrets of the UFO, one of the things that is shared is that the United States government is in possession of, I think they said, 589 unmanned weapons-grade UFOs, that they're waiting for the harmonic frequency to match the craft design so that they can fly. And according to this body of knowledge, there's going to come a point in time in which UFOs are going to basically be seen in the sky, and they're going to start zapping and blasting. So people have a fear. So when they see the real UFOs that are here for the soul, guess what? People are going to move into a fear about that. So anyway, one of the curious things about the nature of the self is the nature of the self can be thought of in several ways. One way is simply that there's mind, body, spirit, and soul. Another is will of light and consciousness. Another is God, creator, father of the universe. Another is infinity, eternity, completeness, totality. Another is sun, earth, moon, and universe. Another, that which radiates, absorbs, illuminates, and encompasses. The work is simply being conscious or consciously aware of them as the nature of the self. From that awareness, there's simply contributing to humanity in the hopes that others will become the same level of consciousness. It's not about following a teacher. It's not about obeying rules of dogma. It's about whether or not we can become conscious, because in one sense, there's only four things that a person's doing. Okay, there's only four things that a person's doing. And that is resolving issues by letting them go because they act as catalysts for growth, developing talents because that's something that can be contributed, conscious awareness. And within the context of those three aspects, there is simply the contribution that's made according to the issues that are resolved, the talents are developed, and the conscious awareness that an individual has. One of the opportunities, one of the developments that takes place within the context of a person's life is that consciousness only seeks to evolve beyond what it is as a state. So now I'm going to give you a little tidbit that's real interesting. Okay, and to me, it's real interesting. It's real interesting because I've gotten to a point in my life to where I'm seeing the dynamics of fear and love, and what's real interesting is that fear is absolutely essential to the process because that is the mechanism that brings about the end of a particular type of experience, including the ending of the body. It is absolutely impossible for something to end if fear is removed or eliminated. And the simple fact of the matter is that if there was simply will of light and consciousness existing as it is, as a state, that state will remain as is forever. So, within the composition of the design, there is that which creates, which is love, through the will of God. There is that which brings about the end of, or the cessation of, or the demise of, and it can be thought of as that which brings about the death of, so that consciousness can evolve through other levels of awareness and involvement. And this is something that's not understood by people. One of the things that gets in the way of conscious awareness is when we tie ourselves to an ideology, a belief system, a psychology, a philosophy, an attitude, and so forth. Because what happens is that holds us or ties us to a particular point of reference. If we look at modern day society, there are some very daunting systems theories that are in place that may not be as comprehensive as we would like. And what I'm talking about is one of the things that I have found is the invader culture mindset is kept in place by seven institutions. The indigenous way of life did not live according to these institutions at all. They did not exist from the indigenous way of life, and those who are true to the indigenous way of life do not live according to them. However, almost everybody on the surface of this planet subscribes to science, religion, politics, law, and medicine, which is really interesting because one of the things that I am beginning to realize is that it's very, very possible that those individuals that repeat third density on another planet at the time of change, what's constituted as the ending of the world, is simply those individuals that subscribe to and have lived their life according to one or all of those institutions. Within the idea of the nature of the self, is that the nature of the self can be thought of as God and universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, id, and mom and dad. And that covers the entire gamut of what an individual can become consciously aware of. And yes, it's possible to be God conscious. Zoroaster taught that many years ago. It's also possible to understand what cosmic conscious is as the nature and level of the soul. When we get into the arena of divinity and deity, according to the Creator and Father, it becomes an interesting thing because within the composition or constitution of the nature of the self, an individual has a responsibility of finding out what these things are. The only reason why I have this awareness was because when I was 5 years old in Sunday school in San Francisco, I went to Fourth Church of Christ Scientists until I was 20. And one of the things that was taught, one of the things that I asked my Sunday school teacher is what makes me the image and likeness of God? The teacher didn't know. The other is that how does one become the image and likeness of God as a human portrayal or representation? I have literally spent 54 years answering those two questions specifically. The interesting thing is that when I was 10 years old, I decided to resolve the issue of anger. And so I actually got involved in doing personal work in a very specific manner because I lived by the rage. I was suicidal. I got depressed a lot and that type of thing. And so part of the work has been simply coming to a point of evenness within the context of my life. One of the more interesting visions that I was given about 10 years ago was what collective ascension is. It's literally how souls unify into a single idea. And it's not that the soul loses its identity. It's just that the connected integration that exists within the composition of life itself, the universe is a connected, integrated state. What happens is that you have it can be thought of as individual states of will, of light, and consciousness that unify into a state that encompasses the entirety of those people that are involved. Case in point, Seth is a collective ascended as 1,012 souls. The Ra collectively ascended as 6 million souls. Now, one of the things that happens is when an individual lives according to the physicalness of love and the spirituality of light, there's what the Ra refers to as the law of doubling, which is 1 is doubled by 3, 3 is doubled by 4, 4 is doubled by 5. One way of understanding the analogy is to think of one penny and two pennies, and then one penny, two penny, four penny, do the math. By the time you get to 30 days, there was actually an event that took place, and I think it was either in Rome or Greece way back when, and an individual simply asked the king to be paid by doubling a grain of rice every day for 30 days. What the leader did not realize is once you get about past 10 days, the number becomes monumental, and by the time you get to, say, 31 days, the number is absolutely staggering. And the leader was unprepared for that, but the guy knew exactly what he was doing. Think of love and light in the same way. If you simply do the math of doubling love and light, it's interesting because the only thing that takes place in the universe is diversification through the process of infinity and reunification within the context of ascension. It's reunification. The thing that evolves from that is reintegration back into that which gave rise to the entire creation. If I simply think of one, I had an experience about, maybe 25 years ago. Actually, I think it was longer than that. It was actually about 40 years ago. Anyway, numbers aren't important. Anyway, it was simply God's will to be and know extends and expands by inversely reversing into a focus, becoming conscious of that which gave rise to it. Within the composition of the universe, you have diversification of entity into representations. One of the really interesting things that I have had the experience of coming to an understanding of is how white light becomes color. The only way that there is a perception of time and space is that light has to go from a unified state as white into a colored state, which we notice as the surface of the planet. You have green as plant life. You have blue as the sky. That's how I learned about the sequence of the colors of the chakras. It starts out red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And then there's black, and there's white. As long as there is light as color, there is going to be a sense of time and space. There's going to be depth of perception, so to speak. There is the possibility of becoming conscious of what love and light are as the mind, body, spirit, and soul. Within the context of the will of God is the mind, the love of Yahweh as the body, as the physical, the life of it, as one's spirituality, and then the consciousness of all that is as the nature of the soul. Part of the work that we do is simply resolve issues, develop talents, and become consciously aware that we then contribute to others. And every single great teacher demonstrated what contributing to others was. Zoroaster did it. Buddha did it, Jesus did it, and there's lots of others who have done it too. One of the ideals that a person can aspire to is path, is purpose, within the composition and constitution of the nature of the self as it was created and brought to life within the context of the aspiration of, in our case, humanity collectively ascending. It's very, very possible that in the days ahead, that there's going to be three or four things that take place that are very, very specific. It's very, very possible that when the end, when the Earth changes, when the Earth begins the process of giving birth to a fourth density planet, and this comes from about 10 different sources. The Hopi tradition has said within the context of their visions for a couple of hundred years that the Earth is going to give birth to a fourth density planet. According to Sky and according to Edgar Cayce, according to the raw material, according to Mary Samarain, one of the things that is going to take place is, according to the raw material, the Earth is going to change the parameters, and it's very, very possible that life as we know it is going to completely become extinct. According to the raw material, no life form on the surface of the planet when the planet is evolving from a third density planet to a fourth density planet is going to survive because of the magnitude of changes. Land masses are going to become submerged underwater. There's going to be volcanic activity. The Earth does two things when it heals negativity embedded in the surface, and every emotion, every thought, and every action is grounded in the surface of the planet. And there's a predominance of negative feelings, thoughts, and actions more so than positive feelings, thoughts, and actions. So there's more work that has to be done from the perspective of the planet. Heat and salt, salt water and volcanic activity is how the planet heals negativity. And according to Noyes, who is the teacher of Mary Samarain, there is going to come a point in the evolution of this planet when all of the negativity is going to be purged from the surface. It's very, very possible that it could happen within the next 3 to 5 years. It's not something that's way off down the horizon. There's lots of information that is out there about Earth changes, what's going to happen, what's going to come, and so on. The important thing is that if an individual simply works within the context of the nature of the self, within the context of understanding the will of God as the mind, the love of the Creator as the body, the light of the Father as the Spirit, and the consciousness of all that is as the soul, an individual will develop according to that. What I have found is useful, or what I have found is important is that there's four states that I work on, and I've been working on it for decades. And that is God consciousness, cosmic or universal consciousness, enlightenment according to light, love, love, light, and miracle-mindedness at the same level of capacity as Jesus. And I'm not there yet. And there is the possibility that I could just be fooling myself with those, but I understand what's involved. I see them as a vision, and so I apply myself to that. One of the things that's useful that a lot of people don't do is that they don't meditate. And meditation is useful because from the perspective of creation is understood from the perspective of the intellect, about 2%. The other 98% requires conscious awareness to understand and recognize and be involved with. that's the spectrum of light. Science actually has a spectrum that it draws, and it's a real long line, and 2% of the line is the ability to observe light within the context of observation. One of the things that I have found useful is that it's like Andrew Casey wrote A Search for God, Volumes 1 and 2, and the people that he worked with, it took him 11 years to get the two volumes done. And what's interesting about that bottom of knowledge is they're very, very small books. They're 5x7, and they're approximately a half an inch thick, which means they're approximately 150 pages each. The interesting thing about that body of knowledge is that chapter 1 of volume 1 is meditation, and the last chapter of volume 2 is meditation. So from Edgar Casey's perspective, meditation, it begins and ends with meditation more so than anything else. And people, as a rule, don't like to meditate because it's not a really easy thing to be comfortable with. There's a very, very strong possibility that when it is time for people or time for our species to evolve, that there's going to be the option of the soul going home by a UFO. There's the option of people going inside the planet, and this was done back in the time of Lemuria and Atlantis. There's actually, I don't know how many people are familiar with Hollow Earth by Anne Robbins, has written books. There's a few authors that have written. There's a book called The Hollow Earth. There's three books about Telos, which supposedly is a city inside of Mount Shasta, and that kind of thing. So it'll be real interesting. And we're getting to a point in the context of the nature of the self, as far as who we are, where we are going to have to start paying attention to the appropriate details, because things are going to change in a way that people basically are unprepared for. I'm beginning to think that anyone that has tied themselves to science, religion, education, business, politics, and law as a way of life is simply going to repeat their destiny elsewhere, because they are antithetical and contrary. They actually basically instill fear, guilt, arrogance, and denial within the context of the nature of the self as it is and how it's meant to exist. It's not that difficult to open the heart. It's not that difficult to enliven the body. It's not that difficult to fully activate the brain. There simply has to be the understanding. It's not that difficult to understand path as purpose, serving others, collective ascension. It's not that difficult to understand path as purpose, enlightenment, and speaking the realness of self as one's personal truth. It's not that difficult to develop intuition, psychic ability, and channeling. And here's what's interesting about it. Intuition can be thought of as the voice of God, psychic ability pertaining of a specific environment, i.e. the planet, and then channeling has to do with the universe. These are things that a person can develop, and lots of people have used their intuition, lots of people have psychic abilities, and lots of people channel. And then, from the perspective of that, there's manifesting with a conscious mind, healing people, teaching people, and ascending. And ascension is marked or measured by you take your body with you when you go. The question that invariably comes up is, why would a person want to do that? When an individual understands the nature of the self according to the design, the only thing that a person is aware of as the nature of the self is will of light and consciousness as mind, body, spirit, soul, that's infinite, eternal, complete, total, as it corresponds to God, universe, created us, that which brought us to life. And if you want visuals to work with, sun, earth, moon, and universe are useful as that which radiates, absorbs, illuminates, and encompasses. One of the interesting things about infinity is there's an infinite number of ways to understand a given thing. The really cool thing about being human and being individual is that within the composition or constitution of the self, no two people are the same. So the process is going to differ from person to person to person. That's the nature or role of infinity. Infinity simply means a difference. It means distinction. It means representation. And there's no two things that are the exact same representation, from people to planets to galaxies and so on and so forth. So the trick or the test is how conscious can an individual become? how loving and kind, and so on it goes. If we take the idea that things exist so that we can polarize within the context of either the negative or positive aspects of energy, they are presented to us so that we can say, I like the positive, and that's what I'm going to work on, so I'm going to minimize, and I'm going to heal. I'm going to understand the equality, balance, relationship, purpose, harmony, peace, serenity, and tranquility between positive and negative. What I'm going to do is minimize the negative. I'm going to actualize, demonstrate the positive within the context of a certain degree of coherency and consistency, and it's not real easy to do. The reason why is, if we pay attention to the news tells us death, disaster, destruction, death, disaster, destruction, death, disaster, destruction. That seems to be the composition of the news. However, a person can get to a point in the development of the self in which a person feels positive regardless of those things that seemingly are hostile and negative. I'm convinced that if an individual truly holds to the positive, they cannot suffer negativity from the perspective of the positive that's held. And I've actually demonstrated that. I had an experience years ago where this dog, a medium-sized dog, probably weighed 30 pounds, ran off the porch and was growling and barking and snarling and going right for my leg. And the thing that I did was I simply just stopped, I relaxed, and I let go of negativity slash fear entirely. And what was interesting was watching the dog, because as the fear left, the dog slowed until it got to a point to where the dog stopped, looked to the right, to the left, and the dog went right back on the porch, and then I continued walking down the street. And it simply demonstrated to me that that's what happens. Anyway, this is welcome to my point of view. I simply have decided to get back into sharing my point of view to those people that might be interested on this planet. If nobody listens to the sound of my voice, great. If one person, great. According to the raw material, if you have helped one, you have helped the entire creation, counting not the numbers, and I understand that very well. And so what I do is that I simply have decided that I'm going to lend my voice to all of the other voices that are speaking what hopefully is real and truth. And I'm doing this every Tuesday. And I enjoy it. And I feel that hopefully people will be inspired and find the information useful simply within the context of knowing the self, serving others, and collective ascension. Because ultimately that's all that we're doing. Ultimately, that's all that's going on. So anyway, I will decide between now and next Tuesday what my next program is going to be. And it's fun stuff because I'm really getting into information that comes to me, and the clarity of insight that I have here in Mount Shasta is exponential. And it's really, really great. I'm really understanding entire bodies of things, how they work, how they come into existence, why they fade away, and so on. And it's very cool. Anyway, I'd like to thank Byte Radio Me and Guest 1810 for coming in and listening. And it's a work in progress like anything else. Anyway, y'all take care and thank you. Bye.